good morning. I'm Kyle Smith. I'm the campus pastor here at the Grace Community Church Dover campus. We're so glad you're here. If you are a guest with us, if this is your first time, we're all in here together. There's kids. If your family says it's okay, there's a place up here you can color and hang out. So we're going to have a lot of reading today, so feel free to move around to do whatever you need to do. We're all together here, and you are welcome here. If you need a restroom, they're down that back hall. Before we begin, there's a church down the road, Community Christian Fellowship, and they have a new senior pastor. His name is Daniel Westbrook. I love that guy. I've spent some time with him and just thought, I feel like I've known him forever, and there's something special about him, and I think everyone who meets him feels that way. So I just want to pray for that church and for him and his family, and also just say we don't compete with other churches. I look forward to the day that we have to build more churches in this area because we're all full, right? Because that many people know the Lord. So let's pray. God, I'm just grateful for your kingdom that is here, that is established, but that also is to come. And I thank you for the hope of this world, which is your church. And so I pray for Daniel Westbrook and his family as they begin this new season. I just pray rich blessings on them. God, I pray for protection over them, that you'd strengthen their marriage and their parenting and their kids. And I pray for CCF, God, that church would thrive and grow and make a difference in this world for your name. And I just pray for all churches in this community that we would be one, that we would be known is where people come for hope and healing in this community. So we're grateful to be a part of it. And I know there are other ministries in this area that are thriving and some that are hurting. And that's all in your hands, God. So we pray for your wisdom, for comfort for those involved, God, for your peace, but ultimately for the name of Jesus to be lifted high. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I recently read this book, The Thing That Would Make Everything Okay Forever, Transcendence, Psychedelics, and Jesus Christ. As you can guess from the title and the cover, this book is a trip. So Ashley Land summarizes her book by saying, it tells my story of psychedelic devastation and spiritual rescue. And I finally found the thing that would make everything okay forever in the last place I thought to look. So she found hope and identity and belonging in Jesus, in the last place she thought to look. So in the book, she tells the story of her baptism. She says, by some mysterious ledger domain of the Holy Spirit, I was a new creation. My life was hid with Christ in God. I belong to someone in whom there is light and no darkness at all. The old me would have scoffed. How silly. These people consoling themselves with this distant intimation of a religious rite. But what I once would have regarded as meaningless now seemed fraught with meaning, overflowing with it. And then she references 1 Corinthians and says, God chose the silly things, the things I once despised, the modest places and modest people I once judged as definitely not where it's at or not who it's with, to humble me and teach me what it means to belong to him. So today we begin a new series based on what it means to belong to and to follow Jesus. I got to confess something. We stole this sermon, but we stole it from the best, from Jesus himself. And so when people gathered to hear Jesus preach this sermon, it's what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew 5 through 7. So at the end of Matthew 4, there's a description of the people who gathered to hear Jesus teach. And the message translation says it this way, that he healed people of their diseases and of the bad effects of their bad lives. People brought anybody with a sickness, whether emotional or mental or spiritual or physical, Jesus healed them one and all. So the people who came to hear him teach were in need of healing. Right? They were dealing with the results of choices that they regretted. They were struggling mentally or emotionally or physically. They might have been dragged there by a loving family member or a caring neighbor. So you might relate to that original crowd. Like maybe you're at the end of your rope. Maybe you are mourning a loss, or you're hungry for meaning. Maybe you've been made fun of because of what you believe. Some people in that audience were just kind of curious about Jesus. So are you somewhere in that crowd? Can you see yourself there? Maybe you're looking for the thing that could make everything okay. And it just might be in the last place you think to look. It might be here in the words of Jesus. So Amy Abel, if you want to come up. Today, Amy Abel, Chris Wilson, and Carrie Choate are going to read the Sermon on the Mount for us, and we're not going to have it on the screen. I actually encourage you, don't even read along in your Bible. Just as the original audience would have heard Jesus, I encourage you to just listen and to hear his teaching. So we're going to walk slowly through this over the next several weeks, but today we just hear the words of our Good Shepherd. We hear Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, the words that offer healing to all.
From Matthew 5. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that of your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord from Matthew 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord.
The highest. Matthew 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you will use it, be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of the Lord.
Amy, Chris, Carrie, thank you. Can we thank them for reading for us today? So I know a lot of that is confusing or hard to understand. We're going to stay in this for a while, so don't worry. You have time to explain it to me over the next several weeks. But I love the NLT translation. It says, at the end, it says, Jesus taught quite unlike their teachers. What that means is while some of this language and some of these references are foreign to us, because literally they're foreign by geography and decades, that day Jesus spoke right to them. Because we read that he saw that they needed healing. He saw they were hurting. He saw they were broken. And he offered healing to them all. So he spoke right to them and they understood it. So over the next several weeks, we will unearth the timeless truths in this and how they speak to us and our culture today, just as relevantly as they did then, right? So that's what we're going to do. And I love in the NLT, in the final verses of Matthew 7, it summarizes the experience of what we just experienced of hearing Jesus' teaching. And it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers. So there's a profound mystery you may have experienced, and that is a stealthy way a pebble can sneak into your shoe. Right? You're just walking along, minding your own business, and somehow this pebble leaps off the asphalt, past the defense of your ankle, beyond the barrier of your Achilles, and settles under the tender skin of your midfoot, right? And this hoof hitchhiker must be addressed, Right? The pebble demands to be dealt with. So you have to stop, you have to bend down, you have to take off your shoe, and you have to deal with it. So my goal for this sermon series is to put a pebble in our shoe. Right? Give us an idea that bothers us, that we have to deal with. To leave each week wrestling with a thought or a question that challenges us and encourages us in our relationship with Jesus. And after reading this several times, I want to give you my summary of the Sermon on the Mount that hopefully, like a pebble in our shoe, will just get stuck with us. Because you hear all throughout this, Jesus said, well, you've heard it said, but I say. The world says, but I say. So my summary is Jesus is quite unlike any other. He leads the way, and as we follow him, we should be quite unlike the world. Right? If Jesus is quite unlike any other, his followers should be quite unlike the world around us. So our goal for this series is that we would become more like Jesus and less like the world. Right? To be in it, but not of it. Why do we do that? What's the difference between Jesus and the world? Well, the world, for one thing, it says that our value is found in our title and our bank account. Right? The size of our home and the model of our car determines our worth. And our identity is found in our mistakes from the past. Right? The things you've done limit who you can become. You're only as valuable as your greatest accomplishment. And you know what? Those are outdated tomorrow. That's what the world says. Jesus says our identity is in him. Right? He declared our worth on the cross when he said, I'm going to give my life for yours. When he separated us from our shame, as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to make that joke every time I say that. That's the second time, so he finalized our value when he defeated death, right? When he destroyed sin, when he came back to life. And he secures our future as he holds all things together in his power, in his love. So Jesus is quite unlike the world, and his followers should be too. So in an effort to get this pebble stuck in our shoe, we're going to have a responsive reading each week. So let's give it a try now. I'll read the part of the leader. We will all read all. So Jesus gave these instructions to his followers. We're a community following him together. So we encourage each other, be like Jesus, quite unlike the world. Jesus cleared the path to a full life and a hope-filled future. We follow his way, loving our neighbors and resisting corruption. We journey together on his path as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. May it be so. May it be so. Amen. Followers of Jesus should be quite unlike the world. So here's the pebble I'm going to drop in your shoe today. Who or what am I following? And where is it taking me? Who or what am I following? Right? Is it the voice of an influencer? Well, if it's on TikTok, that's been silenced today. Is it a voice from your past? Maybe something you tell yourself, well, you did this, so that's who you are. Or maybe it's something that's been said to you. Maybe it's the voice of a bully. Maybe it's the voice of a coworker saying, hey, you could fudge those numbers a little bit. Or maybe it's a what, right? Maybe it's money. Maybe you're following money. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe you plan your life around this thing. Who or what are you following? And where is it taking you? And be honest with yourself. Where is that taking me? What good or bad is coming from that? So let that question rattle around this week. Hopefully it irritates us. It makes us really think about who or what we're following, because Jesus is quite unlike any other. He leads the way, and as we follow him, we should be quite unlike the world. And God, that can only happen through your power, through your spirit in us. So Spirit, have your way. Help us to become more like Jesus. In his name, all the church said, amen. I'm going to lead us now through a time of worship through giving. And for this first year of our young church's life, we're using Psalm 23 as a context for our giving, because when we give back to God what he's trusted to us, that is an act of worship. But it helps us to have some context. So we're very slowly walking through Psalm 23, and today we're reflecting on the truth that God restores our soul. We say in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. If we believe that, which we do, there's profound impact on that. One thing it means that God restores your soul, it means that you are more. You are more than the skin and the hair and the clothes you sit in today, right? You are more than the worst choice you've ever made. You're more than the sum of your past mistakes. Sounds like a song. You're more than what's been said to you. You're more than what's been done to you. You're more than what you've done. You are more. In fact, you are a soul with eternal value. There's a problem with that, though. We are all souls born separated from our Creator. It's not because we're bad people. It's not because we've done bad things. It's because we've inherited that condition. The first man and woman God created, just like I do every day, choose their desires over the presence of God. They chose their desires over a relationship with God, and they're separated from God. And we inherit that condition because we are from their lineage. But God wouldn't leave it that way. God sent his son Jesus to end that separation. He gave his life so our souls could be restored. We could be restored with God. And this is what separates followers of Jesus from every religion that exists. Every other religion says you work, you earn, you strive the love of a higher power. You reach enlightenment. You find nirvana. I preferred Soundgarden, but you, thank you. But you say this prayer in this way at this time, and then you're forgiven, right? God says, I do it for you. It's done. God sent Jesus, and it is done. God so loved the world, this broken, messy world, loved it so much that he gave his son, gave. It's done. We can't earn it because it's already done. What we can do is believe. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have real, true, lasting life. So we worship God through giving with that in mind, that if he has met our greatest need and restored our soul, what would he withhold from us? And if that truth is foreign to you, please come talk to me or Jake or Christy or Amy or Chris or Carrie. We'd love to tell you more about that. Because like we sang earlier, I have built my life on this. So we can talk about it or argue about it or agree on it. But so we worship through giving with this in mind. The ways you can give are on the screen. So God, we thank you that you have met the greatest need we have, and that is for our souls to be restored to you. And in that truth, there is hope and there is life. There's a reason to keep on going. So we thank you, God. We praise you.